With Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. Even if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And let's see, I mentioned a couple things here also as we're getting set up here. We are endeavoring to switch our live broadcast in the studio from Facebook Live to YouTube Live, and we have been experimenting with this. And I'm trying to, well, it's always wants to do something funny. It works at home, and we did this at church today, and it worked fine. And I think we've got it going there. There we go. But hopefully you'll be able to hear us on Facebook. And the way it'll work is that you actually go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And then while you're there, you'll see a graphic that says Live with Pastor Al on air, and above it says click here to watch. So when you see that click here to watch Live with Pastor Al, just click on that, and hopefully it'll come through, and hopefully it won't be garbled. We've had some problems with that in the past, and so we're working on that as well. We think we might have figured out some of what's going on there, so hopefully we'll be able to have that straightened out here this evening as well. So, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we got some people calling in right now. We'll get to you in just a minute here. And, I guess call back there. We just missed the caller, I think. And but we've got somebody waiting as well. But if you were just trying to call in, go ahead and give us a call back. We'll get everything sorted out here and get going here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Again, we just thank you for the opportunity. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just pray that you bless now for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, boy, praying, and now the phones are lighting up. So we'll go ahead and try to get going on there. And like I said, you can find us online. Our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us there. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And if you're listening there, go ahead and put a comment in there if the sound sounds good, because unfortunately I have no way of knowing in the studio what you're hearing on Facebook. We know what's going out over the air. We know that's going out good, and we can tell what we hear in our headsets in here, and that sounds good. But what we have found out is that when it comes across through online, through Facebook Live, it would be real garbled, because for some reason it was coming through real loud and it was too much for the system. So we're hoping that we don't have that problem with YouTube Live. So if you're watching on, like I said, you can either go directly to YouTube.com, but then you have to find us at Live with Pastor Al, I guess. Don't have all the details on that just yet, but you can go to our Facebook page and you'll see us there where you can listen to us. And hopefully that is going to come through. unfortunately, I'm still having trouble finding it. So bear with us a little bit here as we get started. Trying something new here, trying to hopefully get it to come through, and I'm just having problems getting it to come through on the right page. So we're going to try another route here and see if this will work. So if you're trying to find us on Facebook, give me just a moment here, and you're going to click another couple of buttons, and hopefully it's going to come through. So let's see what happens. It says that it's saved. It says that it's going there, and it said that before but didn't, so we're going to try it out now. Well, again, I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and you can find us. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, and we meet there every Sunday at 10 o'clock Bible study, morning Bible study, 11 o'clock our morning service, and then also at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Currently on Sunday morning, I'm preaching through the book of Colossians, and then on Sunday night, preaching through the book of Proverbs. And then every Friday night at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, our Friday night Bible study, which is open, and it's free form, and we've got refreshments. It's informal. We just come, we enjoy fellowship and a good time opening God's Word, talking about current events in light of God's Word, and questions about the Bible and things that are happening there as well. So looks like things are coming in good, and got somebody who indicated that they're hearing things well on Facebook. So we're glad of that. So hopefully we're getting the bugs worked out and we'll be able to get this working and use this as a better medium. It seems to want to work a little better in some respects than just going with Facebook Live did. So anyway, pray for us. We're trying to learn. We're still trying to, you know, here it is 2019, and we're still trying to get into the 21st century here. So pray for us. All right. Also wanted to mention, too, a couple of things coming up. This coming Friday, we have a special program lined up, and I just want to mention this so that you can tune in if at all possible. If not, you can go online and find it later on. You can listen to the podcast or on Facebook or wherever we've got it put out there. But this Friday we have coming on at 1:30 on our Friday afternoon program at 1:30, we have Brandon House, who is going to be with us on the program. Brandon House has a book out right now called Marxianity. Very interesting title. It's talking about the attempt to basically merge Marxism into Christianity, or I guess I could say to communize Christianity. And this is something that I've, you know, followed a little bit over the years myself, because when I was in the United States Air Force back in the 1980s, I remember seeing things on liberation theology. Now, liberation theology, if you're not familiar with that, according to what most people believe, it was originated by some Jesuit priests in the late 1950s, early 1960s, because they saw communism encroaching in Central America, and they thought that if they could Christianize communism, maybe somehow they could live and work within the system. That's what most people believe is the story. My view is a little bit different, having seen some things while I was in the Air Force. My view is, I think the actual case is that what happened was the KGB in their headquarters in Lubchenco in Moscow was looking at one of the ways to neutralize Christianity, because they knew that in order to foster communist revolutions in various countries, two of the biggest things that stood in their way was nationalism and strong religious beliefs. And they have to try to harness the religious beliefs and turn them to favor Marxism or communism. And so they birthed liberation theology, and they looked for some, as Stalin called them, useful idiots, and they found them in these Jesuit priests in Central America that were willing to embrace liberation theology and call it their own. Well, this was nothing more than the KGB. And if you're not familiar with the KGB, that was the, I guess you can say, roughly corresponded to our CIA of the Soviet Union, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Catch that, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That was the USSR in the Cold War during that period of time, which was very active. And Russia was, of course, the chief country leading the Cold War, or leading the United, or I'm sorry, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And of course, the current head of Russia, Vladimir Putin, is a former KGB colonel, I believe it was, very active in the KGB. And I'm sorry, but he may have left the KGB. The KGB may not be no more, but the KGB lives on in much of what Vladimir Putin is doing. And again, first off, in order to be a KGB officer, you had to be an avowed atheist. So if that tells you something about liberation theology, it was birthed by atheists for the purpose of defanging Christianity, neutering Christianity so that they could control it and use people within churches and religious denominations in order to take away Christianity's ability to be a hindrance to the spread of communism. And of course, we saw pictures. It's not that we didn't know this was going on. Pictures, posters were circulated and placed around in Central America. I remember seeing posters in the 1980s that featured Jesus Christ standing in workman's coveralls, holding a hammer and sickle crossed over his chest. Now, if you remember, the Soviet flag, the USSR flag, had the hammer and sickle emblazoned on the flag. And that was reproduced on these pictures, symbolizing that Jesus was a worker and a communist. And they used this to try and basically take control of religious denominations and the Catholic Church in particular in Central America. Well, so how does that affect us today? Why this book, Marxianity, that Brandon House has put out? Well, the reason is that even though the Cold War ended and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics broke up, and many of them have now, like the Ukraine, for instance, has joined NATO. So Estonia and Latvia, for instance, I believe in NATO and allied with us. Poland was outside the Soviet Union. They were in what we called the Eastern Bloc, Eastern Europe, behind the Iron Curtain. But Russia still is very much opposed to us and still trying to undermine much of what we're about here in the United States. But liberation theology lived on in the hearts and minds of many of these priests and theologians and pastors and seminary teachers that drank the Kool-Aid during the Cold War and just drank up this liberation theology. And it's reemerged under the guise of social justice. And I'm not going to be spending a whole lot of time talking about that tonight on Friday's program with Brandon House. We're going to be talking about some of this. And social justice is basically socialism, which is communism, the precursor to full-fledged communism. And that is infiltrating now not just the Catholic Church and the mainline denominations that we saw during the time of the Cold War. It's actually infiltrating evangelical churches, even Baptist churches. Some Southern Baptist churches are being just pulled into this, and even some independent Baptist churches. They got to take away the name fundamental because they're being pulled into this as well. It's a danger. Unfortunately, younger generations born since the Cold War ended don't fully understand the threat, don't fully understand the effort that was there to communize Christianity, and it's seeing a resurgence with a vengeance today. So we'll be talking about that some more in the future. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673, and we've got several people on the line waiting, and we're going to do what we do oftentimes when we have the choice. Ladies first, and so we've got Nancy calling in. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. I know you've heard about Jeffrey Epstein supposedly committing suicide.
Yeah, the best line I heard about that, Nancy, is that it was as much a surprise to him as to everybody else.
Right, right.
That's a little dark humor, so forgive me. But
absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many suspicious things surrounding it. Number one, he would have been a star witness against the Clintons, and they have such a big history of, you know, killing.
Well, yeah, we've joked that, you know, when it's amazing how many people that cross the Clintons end up committing suicide by shooting themselves in the back multiple times.
In the back of the head. I was thinking, yes, I've heard it. And I was thinking especially of numbers 32:23, the last half of the verse, and be sure your sin will find you out. And I think that it seems like such a no-brainer that they knew that he could have been probably the worst, given them a bad name or really gotten them into jail, the worst witness against them ever. And they probably, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, that they paid off the jailers. I mean, if it's enough money, a lot of people would do anything. And I don't know if you saw it, but President Clinton, I Googled it. Did anybody think that that the Clintons killed, you know, Jeffrey Epstein? And here, President Clinton, I Googled it, and here it showed right up minutes after it happened, President Trump did make a tweet about that, saying something about, oh, Clinton body count. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he tweeted it right away. He figured it out. And I haven't heard anybody talk about it except maybe Pastor Ernie Sanders. He's so bold.
Yeah, well, and also he's got a lot of time on the radio to be able to talk about this. Yeah. In fact,
what do you think about
the Manhattan U.S. attorney, and this is something that just was posted on Saturday, and the Manhattan U.S. attorney, he made this statement. He said earlier this morning, the Manhattan Correctional Center confirmed that Jeffrey Epstein, who faced charges brought by this office of engaging in sex trafficking of minors, had been found unresponsive and his cells pronounced dead shortly thereafter an apparent suicide. Today's events are disturbing, and we are deeply aware of their potential to present yet another hurdle to getting Epstein's many victims their day in court. And but basically going down here, he's calling for an investigation into this. There's another quote here, too, that I was looking for that went into some of the suspicious characteristics. And I'm trying to find that real quick on here. But you are correct. There are a number of people who have brought out some questions about this. There's an Akron station I was listening to Saturday, and the one guy on there I'll go ahead and give his name, Jim Isabella, and he's somebody who's been involved in radio, newspaper, and television in northeastern Ohio for quite a number of years, and he said, you know, he was talking about this, saying, I don't go in for conspiracies, but this right here really just reeks of something happening there. And so...
Yes, it's so obvious.
I don't know all the details myself, and I was trying to see, I had seen something on President Trump's tweet, I was trying to find that as well, but I know attorney...
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, Attorney General Barr wants a investigation into this as well. There's a lot of people
yes, I did hear that.
Trying to figure out How did this happen?
Yeah, you know, the lamestream media, I like to quote Pastor Sanders, the lamestream media, I was so surprised that they even let this tweet come out by President Trump when they printed President Trump's tweet about, you know, implying that, he was a victim of the Clinton killing machine. They introduced it as his baseless conspiracy theory. So, like, there's mm-hmm. no basis for him to even say, and it's just
well,
only a conspiracy
yeah.
theory.
Well, and
they support the Clintons. I mean, they're
yeah.
all for the.
I
thought that was interesting. Their commentary after he, you know, gave this tweet, and also one of Trump's HUD workers came right out minutes afterwards and made a statement to that effect. She was
yeah.
old.
Well, and you know, it's very interesting. This came, you know, within 24 hours of the unsealing of thousands of pages of documents, and mm-hmm. apparently he mm-hmm. kept detailed diaries, you know, and everything, you know, with names and dates and everything. And of course, President Bill Clinton went down to his fantasy island, who knows how many dozens of times, and I guess it was at least 20 some times. I think I heard somebody say. But it's certainly more than once or twice, and he knew why he was going there. People didn't go to that island just to have enjoy a nice tropical getaway. They went there primarily for one reason.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, and I know we got other callers calling in, and we'll have to wait till this plays out a little bit, but he had a lot of powerful enemies. There was, I heard one person saying, you know, wouldn't be surprised if we see some judges and congressional people start to resign on both sides of the aisle. And that's the sad thing. You know, there's people in his little books, apparently, he was bipartisan. I mean, there were Republicans that went down there. And remember, President Trump found out that he was doing something improper with underage minors down in Florida and banned him from Mar-a-Lago, and even had given some statements to the FBI. And so these things go back a long ways, and you know, we just need to pray, and we can speculate all we want, but we may never know exactly what happened. But I do know one thing. Epstein is certainly showed no signs that he ever, prayed and asked God for forgiveness. I hope that maybe he did. And when he died, it was too late to do anything more. I mean, it's just whatever state he died in, I hope that he had trusted Christ as a Savior, but there's no evidence, and I have no knowledge of anybody having an opportunity to witness to him. So, unfortunately, you know, without Christ, right now, like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, you know, remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment, not because he was a rich man, but because he had disdained God and didn't want to bother with the things of the Lord. So, hey, Nancy, I'm going to have to let you go because we're coming up on the break got a number of people calling. But, yeah, we need to pray about this. And this is symptomatic of our country. Yeah, this is symptomatic of our society that so many people tolerated this guy and availed themselves of a service that he was providing underage women to these men. So thanks for calling and bringing that up, Nancy. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we've got Terry, who's been waiting here patiently as well. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Trying to get to you here before we run out of time here. So,
I've been doing a lot of studying on another cult religion. I've been studying the Mormons. And this weekend I learned a lot about them.
Oh yeah, they're a curious group, and you can disprove the Mormons pretty quick with just a few verses in Isaiah.
Yeah.
It's one of the core tenets of Mormonism is as God is, or I'm sorry, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can become or can be. You know, this idea that Jehovah God was once a man on the planet, I think it was Kobold, and he lived on that planet, and he worshiped a god there, and then because he was so faithful, he became a god, the god of our planet. And here, Isaiah 44, verse 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." In verse number 8, he says, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Those verses right there, Isaiah 44, verses 6 and 8, disprove Mormonism's core tenet right there. If you're a Mormon, you cannot become a God, and there was no God before Jehovah God that he worshipped. He says, "I know not any." Either the God of the Bible is an outright liar, or the God of Mormonism is a liar, and he's the God of, well, they say he's the God of this world, and you can probably get this one, Terry. Who's the father of lies?
Satan.
Right, Satan, the God of this world. Isn't that interesting how Satan always puts his fingerprints on things? There he is. Satan's the God of this world, and he's a liar.
I think about it off and on. I think about, you know, we don't realize, we don't know how long Satan was with God before, you know, before he was cast out.
Yeah, well, and it would appear that it was probably during that first week of creation, at some point there, that he was lifted up in pride. Yeah, so, we need to pray for Mormons that they will find Christ as their Savior. Hey, Terry, you got about 20 seconds left. Final comment real quick.
I learned a lot of things about Mormonism. If I call in next week, I'd like to talk.
All right, we can do it some more. Thanks for your call there, Terry. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And an update on our YouTube broadcast. I didn't realize that our chat function was working there. And there it is, I guess. So it's coming through. And let's see, I got a suggestion to reduce the audio a little bit. Let me see if I can do that. Just a second. Okay, I found a button over here, or a dial that helps that. So that's what we found out is happening, is for whatever reason, the jack that we use for the audio, when we do the program, comes out really loud, or it feeds really loud, however it is, so you get a garbling sort of sound. So I just turned it down a little bit there, but nice to see. I appreciate Mike, who gave me some insights there in finding his chats on the YouTube. Said that you can find us on YouTube if you just search for Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So just or search Live with Pastor Al, you can find us there. So that's good to know. Glad to hear that. Also, something I wanted to mention earlier in the program, we had some visitors talking to the lady at church today and different things, but celebrating things that God does. Last time I saw this lady, she was pretty much completely blind in her left eye, and they have been praying for some time that God would do something about this. And, you know, can God heal? Yes. And does he heal? Yes. But you know what? Oftentimes, God heals by giving people the knowledge and the ability to do things. And they were praying, and she had a surgery not too long ago, and they did some procedure on her eye, and amazing thing is she's got clear vision out of it now. What an answer to prayer. And God can and does heal. We're not asking and waiting to, you know, we don't need God to have to do some magical, spectacular effects. You know, sometimes God just chooses to work through people that he gives knowledge and skills to, and he uses them to bring healing treatments and procedures that God can use. God's a great physician, and he gives people the knowledge and the skill to help people, and just praise God. We were just talking about that. I said, well, is your vision kind of fuzzy or anything or blurry? She said, no, crystal clear. So she was wearing some sunglasses, wraparound sunglasses, because she's trying to protect her eyes from getting any dust or dirt in them, a little bit of sand to irritate them. But what an answer to prayer. Just wanted to share that. You know, don't give up praying. You got something going on in your life, bring it to the Lord in prayer, and you can let God work there. Well, we're going to get back to our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Tom, who's waiting online patiently for us. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, good evening, Pastor Al.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh,
welcome to you.
A week of news. I'm getting overwhelmed with all the craziness anymore, but amen to what you just said. The Lord, and I'll give a shout out to the Lord tonight that 20 years ago I was so sick I didn't know which way to turn, and the doctors were befuddled, and it turned out the Lord led me to find out I had severe food allergies, and in about 3 months' time of going on a strict diet and supplementing, he turned my health completely around.
Well, amen to that.
So, you know what? I agree with you exactly. And sometimes it's through other people and through a process to how he heals. I think a lot of people think that we're just going to pray and then somehow magically God's going to just say, okay, you're healed. Well, he can do that too. But I think a lot of times it's a process And, you know, it requires a lot of prayer sometimes and fasting and seeking the Lord, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and people don't like to hear this, but sometimes God says, no, I am not going to take that away. No. It's something you're going to have to live with. Remember Paul? He had the thorn in the flesh, and he prayed. Three times, the Bible says.
Yeah, and some people, you know, get sick and they die. I mean, that's life, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a believer, we're healed, and the minute we die, we're with the Lord, right?
When you're and you're completely healed then.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, my mom, my dad, both of them with the Lord now, and my dad was a cancer survivor. He had two bouts with cancer. The second cancer that he had spread, and that's what took him. And he had other health issues that were chronic, you know, and he was up there in years, 88 years old, and different things. But you know what? Right now, he doesn't have an aching bone. He doesn't have any illness. He has no cancer. He's got nothing. Never to get sick again.
They wouldn't come back here either.
No, and I wouldn't wish for him to come back here and have to live in this world with all the problems now.
I think if we ever got a glimpse of heaven, I think we'd be making heaven more of a reality. I think we Christians walk around and we think, oh, yeah, heaven, you know, someday. But we actually live in the presence of this idea of heaven. The Bible says that we're foreigners down here when we get saved, you know?
And you know, when you're talking about getting a glimpse of heaven, you're talking about Paul and Paul asking for God to heal him and take away the thorn in the flesh. And God said, no, you need it to keep you humble. And Paul talked about how he had seen things. Remember, he was beaten and stoned and left for dead outside of Lystra. And quite possibly he experienced death, and he said he was caught up to the third heaven. He talks about it in the third person.
Okay,
you know, I knew a man
out there too, I bet.
What's that?
I said the third heaven's got to be way, way out there somewhere.
No, it's when Stephen was being killed, stoned to death, and he looked up, he saw into heaven where God was. Ezekiel, standing on the bank of the river Kibar, looked up and he saw the heavens open, and he saw God sitting on his throne in heaven.
It's kind of funny that we've come full circle, because what I'm calling you about tonight is just about, I have a question that's got some similarities, so can I get into that and ask you a question here?
Sure.
Okay, I don't want to get into personalities. I was watching a program on Christian TV this evening, and it's a pretty well-known guy, and they have a fellow on there. This guy wrote a book, and he was a fireman in New York, and the book is about called The Trump Prophecies or something.
Mm-hmm.
This man supposedly got a vision and predicted that Trump was going to be president in 2015, and he's got all these other prophecies that some have come to pass and some haven't. But you know what? I'm kind of a skeptic, so yeah, I wanted to call you and ask you tonight, how should we view people that come up with prophecies, even if they are accurate? Because I know what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your feelings about, because we're seeing more and more of that, people writing books and making prophecies about the day we're living in. And I want to get your perspective as a pastor on all this.
Well, you know, I mean, I can make all kinds of prophecies. Let me tell you a story as I'm looking up a verse here. I remember years ago, remember the old radio guy, Paul Harvey?
I do.
Yeah, some of our listeners remember Paul Harvey. He usually was on some of the stations, you know, about noon, and he had
I used to listen.
Yeah, he had like a, what was that, 10, 15 minute sort of news and comment sort of.
Paul Harvey, good day.
Good day. Yeah, he says, this is Paul Harvey, good day. Yep. And he would close with that. But I remember one year, and this was back, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, in that time frame. And he did an experiment. And people go to the grocery store, and you see these tabloids at the grocery checkout.
Right.
And in the end of the year, beginning of the year, there's all these prophecies for the coming year. Leading psychics predict what's going to happen in the next year.
Yeah.
And he said, let's do an experiment. And he took some of these tabloids with leading you know, psychics making their predictions. And he said, I want some of my listeners to call in and make predictions based on what you see happening in the world. You know, just looking at the news, what make some guesses about what you think might happen in the next year. And he said, a year from now, we're going to look at these. I'm going to put them in a safety deposit box. And a year from now, I'm going to open it up and we're going to look and see who's more accurate. Well, a year later, he opened up the box. And guess who was more accurate? It sure wasn't the leading psychics. They were their success rate was abysmal. They were really way off the mark on quite a number of things. But the people who just based on what they saw going on in the news made some very interesting predictions that came true. Their accuracy was much better. And you know, anybody that invests in the stock market, they're making predictions based on track record of various stocks and things and how they think it's going to come out. You know, the government through our intelligence services, I was in the Air Force, and you know, we spent a lot of money analyzing and collecting information so that we could make predictions about what we thought was going to happen. Yeah. But where the problem comes in with guys like this with the Trump prophecy and all that is they claim that they're getting these predictions from God.
Directly from the Lord.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a problem with that.
And he's calling himself a prophet, and they're calling him a prophet.
Yeah.
And they're sponsoring him on his television show.
Well, so here's the thing. If a prophet comes up and says that they're a prophet and this is coming from God, directly from God, from God's, you know, mouth to our ears through this prophet, then we need to analyze them in relation to the Word of God. And here's a passage here in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that says in verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now you say, well, how do I know whether he's speaking from God or not? And he says, if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? So this is this guy, Trump prophecies. He claims it's coming from God. How do we know if that's something God spoke or not? Here it is, Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, which this guy apparently has claimed that God's given him this, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And, you know, people save a lot of trouble if they realize it doesn't matter how godly these people sound and how many Bible verses they use, if they do not have a 100% success rate, then guess what? They're not. It's not coming from the God of the Bible.
Well, he does have some success on some prophecies.
Well, there could be some. Yeah, I mean,
you know, he correctly called that Trump would be elected and that the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a guy on the he's, you hear him on the radio every once in a while, and he's online a lot.
So they're touting his book. You know, they're promoting his book.
Yeah, but I was going to say this guy is Wayne Allen Root. Some of our listeners have heard of him, no doubt, and he predicted that Trump was going to win.
Well,
but he didn't claim that it was a prophecy. He made the prediction based on what he observed.
The guy on the television that's promoting him is Tom Horn. Now I don't know about Tom
I'm not
Horn.
Sure about him. I don't know about him myself personally.
But here's the thing: I always heard good, solid Bible teachers teach was that, you know, it that my thought was that the prophecies that God gave ended with Jesus Christ.
Well, and the Word of God ended not with Jesus Christ, but with the apostles. Because remember, Paul, when he came along.
I mean, really, it ended with the Bible. But the Lord himself prophesied.
Yeah. But Paul put down some prophecies, and so did Peter and John and all them. But with the closing of the canon,
that kind of ended things, and we have to be very careful about these people, because we got a lot of people running around today making predictions and prophecies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, and I mean...
And telling us that, you know, God spoke to them, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen.
Well,
and
you know,
I kind of think it's a dangerous thing to buy into all this.
Yeah, we need to be careful, because we can easily be led astray to where we're trusting a man more than we're trusting the Word of God. And, you know, we can look at things in the Bible and we can say, you know what? I'm looking at a passage in the Bible, and based on what this says, and I prayed about it, and I asked God to give me direction and guidance and say, this is what I believe God's showing me. And then we can say that, for instance, let me just give you a for instance.
I can talk, and I can say, hey, you know, Pastor Al, I think the way things are going, this could possibly happen.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call in and say, you know what, the Lord visited me in my bedroom last night, and he gave me all this list of things that are going to occur. You know what, I think that's I'm a real skeptic about people.
Oh, yeah. And we need to compare everything with the Word of God. And what I was going to say is I can make some, if you want to call them predictions, I'm not going to call them prophecies. I'm going to call them educated guesses based on my understanding of the Scripture. I believe that there's going to be a major war in the Middle East, and it could take place this year, it could take place next year, it could take place maybe not till 10 years from now. I don't know when, but
it's sure shaping up that way.
Yeah, and it's going to be a war where Israel is going to nearly be destroyed. Syria is going to be reduced to just about nothing. Damascus, the Bible says, destroyed overnight. That's never happened. Egypt ruined to the extent that the Egyptians have to leave. They can't live there. And of course, we can speculate about all kinds of things. And I personally believe that this will be a war that goes nuclear, and the resulting regional nuclear war will produce the situation in the world that will lead to the coming of the Antichrist to power. Right. And I even wrote a book to that effect, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War.
Well, I read like Hal Lindsey's book years ago, and you know, he speculated too, but he didn't come straight out and say the Lord told him.
Exactly, exactly, and that's what it is. It's speculation. Yeah, speculation based on Scripture.
Wrong with that?
No, absolutely not. But when it comes to the point that somebody says God revealed something to me that nobody else knows, wait a minute.
About that,
if they're not 100% correct, according to Deuteronomy 18, if they're going to call themselves a prophet of God and they fail in even one, then don't pay attention to them.
It in the Bible, it's in the New Testament. I can't think of it offhand, but it says in times of old God spoke through the prophets, but in these latter days he has spoken through his Son.
Yeah, I believe that's in Hebrews, and I got another caller we'll get to here in a minute. Let me flip over here to Hebrews, and we'll find that, and I'll have to jump to the other caller before we run out of time as well. But let me get you that verse
tonight, and I mean it sounds good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of bothers me, and I think we have to be very careful how we discern things.
Right, right. Here's that passage, Hebrews chapter 1, verses starting in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And then it goes on to talk about the deity of Christ there in that passage. But God spoke in these last days, and even Paul and Peter and all of them, they wrote what, you know, God gave them and inspired them, you know, just like Peter wrote, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And as Paul wrote, I was going to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So
there you go. So very good. The Word of God is sufficient enough for me.
Yeah, and if somebody gives a prophecy and it goes contrary to the clear Scripture, then they're a false prophet there too. And so often these prophecies are contrary to the Scriptures as well.
Harold Camping. Well, sometimes, but I don't know. It's like I'm going to stick with the Word of God.
Because exactly.
That never fails.
That's exactly right. Hey, Tom, okay, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Take care then. Appreciate that, Tom. And we've got time. We'll get John in here as well. John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Hill.
Hi. Good to have you.
First time caller.
Hey.
Long time with.
If I had a bell, I would ring it for you. But
yeah. So. Well, I was just going to tell you how much I enjoy your ministry. You're very outspoken.
Well, thank you.
I'm a member of Pastor Sanders' church.
Oh, yes, sir.
And he's like you. You're both, you're not afraid to speak out, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I was just going to say, I actually remember listening to him when he was on, remember the old WCCD 1000 AM?
Oh, yeah.
That's a few years ago, but go ahead. That's
going back into the later 80s, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because that's when I got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about the healing before. Well, I had a very close friend I grew up with. His wife had very serious back surgery. This was back in March, I believe. And that poor girl, she suffered. Oh, my gosh. She had to get up every 2 hours to take pain medicine. But we kept praying for her as a church. We have prayer meetings on Thursday, and we also pray at the end of the service.
Right.
And then I prayed individually, and we kept it up that she wouldn't have to have a second surgery, because that's what the doctors told her. She's going to have to do it again. And praise God, just found out Wednesday she won't have to have it.
Why, man, that's great to hear.
Sometimes God takes his time, but it was answered, you know?
Yeah, and think about this. When God takes his time, and just like he could have told Paul, for instance, we were talking about him earlier, he could have told Paul immediately, no, you're going to have the thorn in the flesh, and you need to. It's going to keep you humble. But he let Paul pray about that for a while. Paul sought God's face three times on that, and it wasn't just like three prayers, Lord, take this away from me. You know, he spent time praying and seeking God's face. And, you know, I've thought about this. Why does God make us do that when he already knows the situation? And the thought occurred to me, God wants us to consider our situation so that we can see what he's doing.
That's true.
You know, think about
it. Paul.
Go ahead.
Apparently, whatever Paul had was a very painful, troublesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they thought it was his eyes.
Yeah, some people think that. Might have had a painful condition with his eyes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't blame him for wanting to get rid of it, but he accepted God's judgment on that.
Yeah, and it wasn't because Paul had sinned greatly or anything. It was because God wanted Paul to stay humble because he had seen such incredible things, and he had seen into heaven, and he said he saw things that were unlawful to talk about, meaning you just couldn't phrase them in ways that human beings in this this materials physical world that we live in could really fully grasp or understand. It's just like Paul or God said that, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things that he's prepared for us. And so when we get to heaven, I think it's going to be far more astonishing than what we think.
I'm sure it is. And I just can't imagine. To me, heaven would be not feeling pain, But that's only part of it.
Well,
I see you're at the end of the program.
Yeah, we're coming up the music there. I appreciate the call, John. Thanks for giving us the first time call. Hope you won't be the last time you call. We enjoyed that.
I'll make it a point to call you back, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Thank you for our callers this evening. Remember our program coming up this Friday, the 16th, at 1:30 in the afternoon with Brandon House talking about Marxianity. We're looking forward to that. Also, if you're a World War II buff, let me throw this out. D-Day Conneaut, largest World War II reenactment in the country, I think in the world, is coming up this weekend, 16th and 17th. Out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.